You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
I'm not after just finishing watching Donegal versus Down, but it is early on Friday the 12th of July, but sure, where else would you be? I'm joined here for episode 7 by our regulars Damien Dowds and Frank Craig, and special guests from Charlie Collins Talking Sports. We have Chris McNulty and Alan Foley. Welcome, lads.
Hanging on, Kieran. Good to be here again.
What's the crack here?
Good, good.
You're welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I was over in Australia actually keeping an eye on the Sam over there, and some fellow called Brian offered me a few tickets for some rugby game or something, so I went along to that. But Brian the guy that got dropped. Nothing like getting back to the good old football. We're in our third Ulster final in a row, and chance to make. I think it's been said already, and I mean, let's not forget that this is a real chance to make history. I mean, Armagh were the last team to do three in a row, and before that, I think it was Cavan back in the.
Down 59-61.
There you go.
Yeah, quite a few before that, and I think Antrim as well. But since the Second World War,
It's a very rare event, and considering that for ourselves, Ulster finals were like manna from heaven. Winning them, even to get the chance to do three in a row, is something special. So, Donegal versus Down. It wasn't pretty, but we won, and that's all that matters sometimes, Frank, isn't it?
Yeah, we got the victory. I suppose we were just chatting before we came on air that maybe we were all a wee bit too optimistic about how we thought Donegal would fare, but a one's a one, and I suppose after that we had to give Down and James McCartan a lot of credit. But since that there, I think Down's performance against Derry probably leaves us scratching our heads and wondering exactly what Monaghan are going to offer in an Ulster final. So I think we'll probably, again, looking forward towards an Ulster final. I think Donegal are in good stead. Boys coming back into play, hoping that we're all going to have a fit panel, namely Carl Lacey and Neil Gallagher back in the fray. Might be fit to start, but might be fit to offer something somewhere along the line over 70 minutes. And looking forward to it now on Sunday week.
Yeah, we don't play Monaghan all that often, but our record against them is pretty poor. I think it's we lost them 2 years in a row. In the time of Brian, I'd be a bit apprehensive. I mean, we don't have much to go on. I mean, obviously they won Division 3 and they beat Cavan, who many people would have felt were, a dark horse for Ulster, Damien. But we don't know too much about them, really, do we?
No, I suppose like those couple of defeats that we took, the one in Balbuffet, I think it was under Seamus McEnany in 2008 or whatever it was. Like, I mean, Paul Finlay that night, I think he hit 6 or 7 points. He just couldn't miss that night. Now they've been using him this year as a bit of a maybe more of an impact sub, or perhaps they've just chosen their 15 kind of on a horses for courses basis. But no, we haven't come across Monaghan an awful lot of late in championship football. I think they probably were a wee bit better back in 2007, 2008 than they are today. You know, the likes of Rory Woods, I was always very impressed with him. Finlay was, you know, a good number of years younger. Tommy Freeman was a good bit sharper and hadn't had injuries and so on at that stage. Like, so in saying that, like, you know, they've come through, I suppose, a wee bit of the softer side of the draw. They had a very forgettable game against Antrim. and their game against Cavan, I suppose, was a local derby that they started poorly in but finished quite strongly in, like, you know, so. Look, on all known form, Donegal will win this game, but there's going to be a far greater physical challenge from Monaghan than there would have been had it been Cavan to come through. Like, you know, I think Monaghan are quite a robust team, and they've got a pretty clever manager as well. So I see it probably pan out something not dissimilar to the Down game. Like, I think that they will set themselves up to try and thwart Donegal, but they'll come up short now because, well, we've got the forwards to punish even the smallest bits of space that they can get, and they will find the space. But I don't see a double scores victory or nothing like it. Like, you know, I think we'll be within whatever the spread is, 4 to 5 points. I think we'll win within that again.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is Down set up in a certain way. It was always going to be very hard to break them down. I don't think anybody saw that coming from Down. You know, even the previous game against Derry, it was man for man, very free-flowing football. Down traditionally don't play system football. They play more traditional type of football. And fair play to them, they went out with the plan and they frustrated Donegal for long stretches. But at the end of the day, they scored 9 points, and that's going to be hard to win any game doing that. And Alan Monaghan haven't exactly been setting the... scoring charts on fire in their first two games either.
No, they got 11 points in the first, they got 110 I think in the second game, so I think the way they're going to be set up if Donegal are going to, or if they're going to trouble Donegal, that's going to be a really low scoring game. As Damien says, I think it's going to be very similar to the Down game. Down kind of got lost altogether. It was in Celtic Park on Saturday. They scored 215 the first time in there, they got 1-1 last Saturday, so I think they were trying to play more traditional Ulster football. I think Monaghan, as Damien says, is very robust, and it will be very, very tight. But I don't fancy them to put up much more than the 11 scores they've done in the previous two games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if Monaghan get to more than 10 points, Chris, it's going to be a surprise based on what Donegal typically set out and do versus the opposition.
Yeah, like if you look at now the 2 and a bit years in Ulster under Jim, I think 13 points was it Down got against us in last year's Ulster final. That's the most we've conceded. Kevin scored 110, 11 scores. We generally don't concede too much. And like Monaghan, apart from Conor McManus the last day, scored 6 points against Kevin. As Alan says, they're 11 points against Antrim. Like, I mean, if you were Monaghan going in now to play this sort of famed Donegal system, you wouldn't be going in with much confidence of your team getting enough scores to beat Donegal, particularly when you look at the forward line that's going to be at the other side of the field. Murphy McFadden in eerily impressive form at the minute. Patrick McBurdy with another month under his belt, having gone into the Down game with a bit of injury trouble. Certainly, I don't see Monaghan troubling us to a sufficient level where they could beat us. They could maybe trouble us for a while, but certainly I don't think for 70 minutes, you know, on the balance of it all, I think we will have too much.
Frank, one of the pleasing things about the Down game, and I think Jim McGuinness mentioned it during the week, was that Donegal never lost their composure. I mean, when you go out and I suppose you see a system that you're not used to seeing, or I mean, I don't know, like maybe Jim expected that. I mean, he would know better than we would what to expect from Down and what they might do. Like, but you can imagine going out and suddenly seeing, you know, facing a system you haven't seen before and not expected before. But Donegal never looked panicked or worried in that game. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, I would say errors in the first half especially, like, but the second half they were in control all the way, I thought.
I suppose against the breeze in the first half, I think, you know, we went 6 points kind of, and we probably felt it was going to run along the same lines of what we were all predicting beforehand. And I think Donegal erred in the side of caution beforehand when the rest of us maybe were losing the run of ourselves. But even afterwards, Mark McHugh and likes of Michael Murphy, you know, referenced that there, that they never expected to get it easy. And I suppose now, with hindsight, looking back, the way maybe we tore Down apart last year's Ulster final, Down, we're always going to come out and try and contain us to a degree. And as we alluded to, 11 points, I mean, 9 points, whatever they've been averaging in Monaghan, I can't see it being enough to trouble Donegal, particularly when the likes of Colin McFadden, Patrick McBurdy and Michael Murphy coming out. And I suppose that composure that you're talking about, that comes with experience. And 2 years down the line now, this panel of players have that experience under the belt. And that's why, if we can get everybody fit, I think that added to maybe what we had last year, it's going to make us very formidable going into an All-Ireland quarter-final, hopefully when we get the result on Sunday week.
I mean, you would worry that every game we've played so far this year, we've picked up niggling injuries. Like, we've had to make changes relatively early on in the games. Ryan Bradley, the last day, who probably wasn't having his best game anyway and ended up getting concussed. Frank McGlynn concussed as well. You know, that's nothing serious. Thankfully, we've no kind of cruciates or anything like that there. But, you know, it is a concern that, you know, we're losing players here and there. But again, Chris, we're managing.
We're managing, and I suppose that's the big positive about it, that we're missing big players and we still are managing to win quite comfortably. Like the last day, Ryan and Frank both coming off early, both players who were key figures last year in the All-Ireland run. We're still missing Carl Lacey. We still haven't sort of seen Carl going at anything near full pelt. Big Neil as well, struggling for fitness. And that's four players that have been, you know, particularly key men under Jim McGuinness. But we have managed and we haven't really been in trouble. I mean, even against Tyrone, we won the game by 6 points and were quite comfortable. Now, I suppose as the year goes on, the hope is that we get these boys back and we can manage to keep them fit. You know, because when we go into Croke Park, as we've said all along, we're going to need absolutely everyone. But, you know, I suppose the signs this week have been pretty encouraging, and I think all bar Big Neil on Tuesday night trained. The word is Neil could come back into football this week. Whether or not he's going to have enough time is debatable, but that aside, Matthew Smith, I think, is the only other one who's struggling for fitness. So for the first time, and probably for the first time this year, actually, we are going to probably go into the Ulster final with something very, very, very close to our full strength panel. And again, you know, if we can get those players to 80-90% fitness, then we'll be okay.
Damien, do you think Ryan keeps his place for the game against Down?
I'd say he did. I'd say, well, I thought he was doing okay in the first 20 minutes until he got that bang in the head, and that's 2 years running. He's been concussed now against Down, but I think he was doing reasonably well around midfield. You know, you could see, well, assuming Big Neil isn't fit, like, I think you could see Ryan Bradley lining out with 8 or 9 and he's back again. Like, you know, he could tend to do a bit of his better work there, like, you know, and he did have a pretty good Ulster Championship last year, struggled a wee bit when it came to Croke Park, but had a pretty good Ulster series last year. But in and around midfield, where it's going to be a physical game against Mon, and they've got the likes of Owen Lennon, Dick Clerken was knocking around midfield, like, it's no place for the faint hearted, like, you know, and Bradley does have that physicality that, you know, rather than go around a man, he wants to go through him, over the top of him, like, you know, and that'll be no harm against a Monaghan team that are going to I'm assuming that Malachy O'Rourke won't buy into all this hype that Down have, you know, there was an almost glee in some parts of the media after the Donegal Down game that at last the Donegal code has been cracked, and this is the way to set up against them. Look at the trouble that Down pushed on them. You know, Donegal were, what, 2 and 3 points clear for most of the game. Short of a very fortunate goal, we were relatively, you know, we were always looking quite comfortable. Like, so I hope that for their sake, Monaghan don't buy into that. You know, Down tried it. They're a bit of a better team than Monaghan, and they came up well short. Their 9 scores was never going to win it. So I think that they, you know, it is going to be that physical challenge, and players like Bradley, you know, will be probably crucial to that, like, that they'll be able to give it back to the Monaghan lads. And as we say, the scoring ability of our forward line, like, is you know, for all the for good and all that Kieran McManus is and Kieran Hughes, like, we have the just excellent scoring ability there, and we should be able to win with a few points to spare.
There's just something about that Down thing that Jim alluded to in his press briefing the last night, was that while Down tried to mirror Donegal have been almost perfecting a system for 3 years, Down pretty much brought it in 3 weeks. And really and truly, that was never, ever going to be enough. And I think even had Down turned the screw anymore the last day, we would still have found another gear and would have found that way to win. And similarly, I think Jim will be quite pleased if he goes out and he sees Monaghan trying to do something similar, you know, because unless Monaghan do what they've been doing, then they're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I would have seen Monaghan or Down the last day as similar to Donegal in 2011, in that they did one aspect of the game very well, and that was defend, but the attacking prowess just wasn't there. I mean, I remember watching and Mark Poland soling up to the halfway line and having to basically hold the ball there to wait for people to come up and support. And, like, you know, Donegal in 2012, that, you know, we were pouring forward, and you know, that takes time to do it. I mean, you know, to turn your system around in one game, you know, is very, very hard to do. And it'll, you know, I'd agree that I would worry that if they try that, they're going to come up short as well, because, as I say, Down scored 9 points, you know, and they didn't kick a huge amount of wides either, like, so, you know, it's not as if they had lots of opportunities. So we heard a bit from Jim McGuinness during the week. Alan, what do you think of Jim's views on Sunday week?
Jim's always going to be really respectful of the opposition. There's no reason not to be, and I think he's right. One thing he alluded to this week was the fact that I think his average winning margin is about 6 points in Ulster, which is pretty solid, really, because he said himself he had played, what, 10 or 11 years and barely won one game by 6 points. So Jim still has massive respect for the Ulster Championship. And even listening to the lads like Michael Murphy and chat, that's really their bread and butter. I think Jim even said last year, if we can win Ulster every year, that would be more than happy to use that as a base point. So we are no Donegal team has ever done this before, so it's a big opportunity now for Donegal.
I mean, it was funny that the I was listening to him during the week, and he said, you know, the interviewer said, you know, no talk of trophies yet, and Jim said, well, there's talk of trophies now, because there is a trophy to be won for the next game. So, I mean, that's good to see that the focus is still on just the next game, and so on. Frank, do you think Monaghan have home field advantage? Do you think that's any advantage to them? I mean, Jim McGuinness placed a lot of emphasis on playing Tyrone and Balbuffet this year because of the advantage he gave us. Do you think it could work against us this time?
I think that might have been stemmed more from the fact that Tyrone were maybe on paper such formidable opposition. I don't think there's going to be much of an advantage there at all to Monaghan, in fairness. I think coming into this game, we've talked about how Donegal maybe have struggled and how their panel has been stretched. Jim has made the great point is we haven't lost any games with the so-called stretched panel. So that's definitely a plus. Another plus what I would see from it is the lads that have come in and filled the voids, the likes of the maybe Marty O'Reilly's, Ross Wherdy's. All of a sudden, these boys are in contention to start, even with a close-to-full panel now. Because some of the lads, let's be fair, maybe haven't set the world alight this year. The more regular lads, maybe there's places maybe in the half-forward line, maybe places in the half-back line. So I'm sure the likes of Ross Wherdy, Marty O'Reilly, even Ryan McHugh can run the reckoning. These guys will be pushing hard in training this week, knowing that there might be one or two spots up for grabs in that 15.
Yeah, no, I think competition for places is definitely good. I think that only all half-forward line is a strange beast because we probably have players there who have been asked to do things that they wouldn't be comfortable doing all the time. Like, you know,
the half-back line, the half-forward line in this particular system of Donegal, you have to really think. And when you're on the ball, you have to maybe what Jim's asking of you in training. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of information to digest, a lot of stuff to do. So, I mean, credit to the lads. I mean, taking in that there and trying to map it out on the pitch. We've talked about Ryan Bradley, a footballer who I'd have huge time for, I think, in the centre, where he does his best work. And against Monaghan, who maybe are that wee bit physical, vertically compared to Donegal, they'll not fear Donegal at all. So Ryan Bradley at number 8 or number 9, always like to see him there. Whereas I think maybe if he plays wing half forward, he maybe gets a wee bit lost in terms of trying to digest that information that we've talked about and not going against his natural game. Whereas the likes of Mark McHugh, Marty O'Reilly, these boys, it suits them. Guys like Frank McGlynn bombing forward, getting back, who've maybe mixed a wee bit of underage football playing in the forward line as opposed to defence, instead of asking a guy who's maybe, you know, plied his trade for his club, maybe Damien might have a better idea, but I assume Ryan Bradley, besides full forward, midfield's probably where he's mostly operated for Bunkerana.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be great to see Carl Lacey back because, you know, he's so important to the way we play and what we do, and we haven't really seen him for two games there. So the prospect of him starting and being at somewhere near full fitness, we could see a very different Donegal than we have seen in the first two games.
Yeah, we could. Just one other thing that stands out from Tuesday night in the press briefing was that Jim said in 2011, we played 14 men behind the ball against Dublin because we had to win the match and so on. Last year, he worked so much in developing the offence, and he said this year he was working on what he called a few new things. Now, what exactly they are, I don't know. But I do suspect that whatever it is or whatever they are, that Carl Lacey will be pretty much at the epicentre of it all. And to go to Croke Park, I suppose, without having had Carl Lacey would be, in one way, a good thing because the opposition doesn't know. But I think people in Donegal would like to see Carl Lacey with 70 minutes or something very, very close to that under his belt because he is so, so important. He is the guy who makes us tick. You know, we can talk about Colm scores, we can talk about Michael scores, but the nuts and bolts of it all is Carl Lacey. You know, how many scores have we seen coming off those bursting runs out of the defence? And he just adds that wee touch of class to us that maybe we're just missing at the moment. And certainly the hope is that when the team's named, or well, when the team starts next week, that Carl Lacey's in the huddle.
Yeah, we actually, I mean, I think against Down we did actually play as selected, which is probably, was that the first time in two or three years?
Yeah, pretty much. Jim was very complimentary of Anthony Thompson that day, and I suppose when we're chatting about missing Carl, the other two players like him in that system are Anthony Thompson and Frank McGlynn. Frank went off concussed, and Anthony Thompson hadn't trained once, I think, between both games, Tyrone and Down. So depending on the shift that he did, was very important, and Anthony done well. But as Chris says, we need that link, and if Carl Lacey can't do it, we really need Frank McGlynn or Anthony to do it. And I think it was real horses for courses second half. The last day, there was young lads coming on, probably playing in positions unnatural to them. And I suppose when you get through a challenge like Down, not with your full hand, it's only can add confidence to the likes of Marty O'Reilly and the likes of Ryan McHugh.
Yeah. I mean, now people can say what they want, but Donegal won the game, and you know, we're through to the Ulster final, and that's all that matters. I mean, semi-finals are there to be won, and that's about it. I mean, you know, looking back to last year, we weren't that impressive against Tyrone. You know, in the Ulster semi-final, it was a fairly dour affair, but you know, it was interesting to watch for those of us who are interested in competitive football. So I think we're all quietly confident of a win, maybe not as confident as we were against Down, but you know, that's no bad thing. We move on briefly, just talk about the club game. We've had the conclusion of the group stages of the county championship, and we know the quarterfinal pairings. There are some interesting ones, for sure. Overall, Damien, is the new format, you happy with it so far?
I like it. And I suppose the thing that I particularly like is that we are already at quarter final stage of our club championship, and while, you know, there's fixtures scheduled for August, they'll be put off should Donegal qualify. So it means that the handling that we had last year and trying to fit more or less the entire championship into the period after the All-Ireland final isn't going to arise. So that's very good for the club players, and it's very good for the county men as well. Like, I mean, some of them now, you know, whenever Donegal are knocked out, they're not going to have to immediately go back into club championship with the club. So that's very good. But yeah, like, there's some new teams in the quarterfinals this year. Now, who's to say that they wouldn't have come through from, you know, the home and away, two legs in a playoff game initially? But, you know, there's some new teams. You have the likes of McCool's have come through there. You have the likes of Malin as well have come through out of a very difficult group. Like, you know, so while some of the people, some of the teams that you might have expected to be there, the likes of Unions, Glenswilly, Kilcare, you've had a couple of big losers as well, like, and most notably Niamh Connell from last year's beaten finalists, like, you know. But I think it has freshened the thing up a bit. It'll be very interesting as well, not just to see how the quarter finals progress, but how these relegation playoffs go, because, you know, for the first time ever, the qualification for the senior championship is now divorced from your league form. So, you know, it's going to, you could conceivably, I think people are talking about, you know, is it Dunlow, is it, that can be conceivably promoted?
Or Glenfinn. Both can actually.
They can be conceivably promoted to Division 1 of the league, yet relegated out of the senior championship. But that's how it is. That's the way it's set up now. League and championship are no longer linked, and I think there's no harm in that. And yeah, it's set up quite imposed quite nicely now for whenever it is that Donegal end their involvement in the All-Ireland series. So hopefully we've got a nice October ahead of ourselves with club football again.
Sorry, Chris, in the last series of games, the interesting thing was text over and back and Twitter over and back, because I was at Four Masters against Glenfinn. Four Masters won by a point. They didn't know if they were through, and then they were checking straight away from our draw to see if they could get through. So it was a little bit of the drama.
The only place where nobody was tweeting was from Malin. You want to see the shock on some people's faces around O'Donnell Park when that result started to filter through. Damien, I think it was you that actually posted it to halftime and maybe three quarters of the way through the second half. I mean, objectively, talking to club players that aren't playing county football, they've actually given us nearly a universal thumbs up. The mechanics of it maybe weren't properly thought through, whereas teams that have maybe played in the group stages already have been paired again. I mean, what reward was there for Kilcare to go flat out and top the group and then to meet Glenswilly again, whose tails will be up and wanting to avenge that previous result? And the other thing that I just don't like at all is that the groups will remain the same next year. I mean, those 2 week gripes could have been tweaked, you know, but I mean, overall, they've tried something different, and as Damien says, this is the quarter final stage and all boys want to do is play football. The one maybe scary fact now might be lads looking forward and that wee bit of confusion over when the quarter finals will be played. Some of them will be in maybe 6 weeks in America. Some of them will be wondering, can they squeeze that in and come back to their clubs in the meantime? And that's just a wee bit of clarity people will be looking for, maybe sooner rather than later, because at the minute it seems to be up in the air.
I think one thing that a lot of teams didn't really consider at the start too was the fact that the scoring average is massively important. And I think in the first game, Niamh Connell beat Clonidy maybe 15-7. I'm sure they won that game in second or third gear, got over the line, but I don't think they realised how important it was to put up a big score until it was probably too late for Niamh Connell then. And I think that's one thing that all the teams will have learned next year. When you're on top of a team, you nearly have to put as much over as you can.
I think we should take on the Sky Sports mantra here and maybe talk it up, because I mean, quarterfinals, there are some interesting games to look forward to there. And I mean, the likes of Killybegs, who aren't going well in the league at all, are in a quarterfinal. I mean, they'll be looking at McCool's and not be too daunted, and vice versa. McCool's could maybe feasibly end up in a county semi-final too, and that's the refreshing aspect of it.
Yeah, it's refreshing for a lot of clubs who, I suppose, in the past, you know, you talk about McCool's and Killybegs, and no disrespect to them, but you know, Time was when they were given a first round draw against whoever, the two games and they were gone. But all of a sudden, this group format has allowed them to sort of progress. And now the fact, you know, you have people in McCool's, people in Killybegs looking forward to a winnable quarter final tie, possibly a county semi final. Similarly with Malin, and I think with the development of Donegal football, and we saw, Damien, what the All Ireland win last year did to finish one with the likes of Ryan Bradley and Declan Walsh. And now for a club like Malin to be looking forward to a tie against the reigning county champions, it's massive. Like, and you know, Malin sort of have nothing to lose in this game. They've been going pretty well this year, and they might, you know, while they mightn't maybe be confident of beating St Unions, they certainly won't be. They won't be afraid of them.
No, I mean, it's as good a time as any to be playing St Unions. You know, they're going to be coming into it like everybody else. That wee bit cold in the quarter final. Like, now Unions were well in charge in the game between them in the group as well. Malin, of course, met Unions in the group. They were comfortable winners on that night, but you know, that's as good a time as any to get them. Like, and the Mallon boys had they've had a couple of boys away there for most of the group stages. So the likes of Matthew Byrne, who's their top scorer, and Charlie Byrne missed the last game. So they've a couple of top players come back into the team. So you can be sure that they'll be like the other clubs, be knuckling down and seeing an opportunity here. It's a big ask, like, to be dethroning St Unions, but as good a time as any to play them, because once they would get the quarter final over them and they close in on the semi final, I mean, they have the experience to see themselves through. So I'm sure Eamon O'Boyle and Cole will be doing everything to ensure that they don't get caught cold there, as indeed we'll have to do it when we get into the All-Ireland quarterfinals.
Indeed. Yeah.
I think so. Frank just mentioned something there, that there's by and large universal approval of this, bar a couple of wee tweaks. And I think it was a journalist in Derry recently did a sort of survey about, it was actually about the night they were playing games, but I think maybe, you know, when this has been discussed now by clubs, like, it was the clubs who brought it in, where the groups were here for 2 years to give them the maximum number of home games. And it was probably a little bit small-minded in a way, because, you know, I'm sure the players and I'm sure the actual the officials, and we'll say Bundoran, who were in that so-called group of death, are now pretty much regretting putting their hand up in favour of that particular thing. But by and large, this system has worked. And I think maybe the month after the county final, there should probably be some sort of a fixtures form to just make those wee tweaks and perfect this system, because for a county like ourselves now that has serious ambitions of long summers, it does work. Maybe if we could get a round of it in before the National First League round, yeah. To maybe just ease the congestion in a way. But for me, the big plus has been the fact that it's now divorced completely from the league. Like we saw a couple of years ago where Glenfinn were in a county semi-final, they were almost relegated from Division 2. But because of the whole league... They qualified basically for the championship because they then finished sufficiently high enough in Division 2. That now doesn't matter. We've got 16 teams, and the best 16 championship teams will now play in the championship. And for me, that's been the big, big plus about it.
Mm. Just to come back on something you mentioned there, Damien, about, you know, teams getting caught cold. Out of all the contenders, I think Donegal are possibly in the best place. We've had two very tough games. And you look around the provinces, I mean, Mayo have had a cakewalk. They're not going to have any kind of challenge in the Connacht final, I don't think. No disrespect to London. If London keep it close, I think that's the best they can hope for. Dublin have had two very facile victories. And then Cork and Kerry played their first meaningful game of the season last weekend. And for about 50 minutes, it was a very, very one-sided and poor game. So, I mean, whatever else people say about the Ulster Championship, it is still very competitive and is the best preparation I think we have for...
I think that Donegal have been tested. Rory Gallagher made the comment that, you know, we're the only team to have played two Division 1 teams so far in down in Tyrone. And, you know, we will know a lot better of where we stand in comparison to the other counties. And, like, I think for the last 2 years, it's been the provincial champions that have qualified through to the semi-finals. That's not... I don't think that's going to necessarily happen this year, because, as you say, you know, neither Mayo nor Dublin in particular have any clue of where they're at. And I mean, the Munster final was a one-off game, you know, that maybe Cork will have learned as much from as Kerry, like, you know. So I think that there's a danger for the provincial champions from everywhere of being caught cold, but I think it's less so for us, because we will have been tested, and the test that we're going to get from Monaghan as well is going to be quite significant. Like, you know, I would say that I would have Monaghan ahead of Meath, and obviously ahead of London any day of the week. Like, but I think, yeah, that will actually stand to us, and we've taped our season's training, I suppose, to peak for that Tyrone game, and Tyrone have gone reasonably well in the qualifiers since, and we've kind of fallen back a wee bit maybe since, and you know, we're aiming now towards peaking again for August, whereas, as we say, there hasn't been a glove laid on Mayo or Dublin in particular, like, not a glove.
Mm. In fairness to the Dubs, so I think the two teams have played are Division 1 teams next year, but they have rattled up big scores, and it is hard to know where they're at, especially Alan Brogan hasn't kicked the ball, Brian Cullen hasn't kicked the ball, Bernard Brogan was taken off the last day, so maybe they're still trying to work out what their best team is as well.
Just appreciating even Damien's sentiments there, I mean, I think it's fair to say the standard in Ulster has slipped a little, but that said, it still has to slip a lot more before it comes on a par with what else is going on around the country. But I think the great thing to come out of the down result as well, and maybe the down performance, is it coincided with Dublin's annihilation of Kildare. And that's all of a sudden has taken Dublin up to a pedestal now, because, I mean, it's funny, before the Tyrone game, we're wondering about the relevance of the relegation. Donegal annihilate Tyrone, they're put up on a pedestal. Jimmy's been thinking, he's been plotting that, you know, it was at the expense of our championship, our National League. And now all of a sudden when Dublin beat Kildare, they're a flavour of the month. So I think we're going to do a good place to beat them. And as Damien says, I don't think the accelerator's been put down at all, this Donegal panel, and if lads come back into the fray, if we can get over this hurdle and have the few weeks towards an All-Ireland quarter-final, I think we can be really optimistic, you know, heading up to Croke Park, and say we're all looking forward to it as well.
Okay, well, I think we'll leave it at that for this week. Thanks again to our producer Michael and to Full Tilt Studios, and we look forward to episode 8, where hopefully we'll be reviewing a historic result in Sunday week.